Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. Wow. There we go. Gotta love that live studio audience. Okay, we have a power-packed podcast for you today. There is a tremendous amount going on in the Jewish world. There's a tremendous amount going on in the world at large. Okay, some spooky stuff going on. Tumultuous times for America. Seems that the numbers 4 and 8 are ubiquitous. Thank you, Branson High School, for that SAT word. Ubiquitous means all over the place. Here we go. So there was an earthquake in the New York, New Jersey area that was 4.8. There is an eclipse that is 4.8, going to be April 8th, Monday. And fascinating stuff about the eclipse. It says, the Talmud says that an eclipse that is a solar eclipse is a sign that the non-Jewish nations are associated with the sun, and therefore it is not a good sign for the non-Jews, but a good sign for the Jews. And just the opposite, a lunar eclipse we're associated with the moon would be bad news for the Jews. So, okay, doesn't seem, and it's visible mostly in America. All right, so, and then the Francis Scott Key Bridge did not have a good day the other day. It was not on 4-8. Yet, in Shmos, in Exodus 4, chapter 4, verse 8, there is actually a fascinating thing. It's in God's discussion with Moshe about Moshe becoming the leader of the Jewish people. And Moshe demurs. He does not want to do it. And he says that he gives God gives Moshe various signs. And he says to him, Vahaya, and it will be im lo ya'aminu lach, if they won't believe you, Moshe, v'lo yishmu'u l'kol ha'osa rishon, they don't listen to the voice of the first sign, meaning the sign has a voice. It's a message. It's telling them something. Veheminu lekol ha'osa acharon. Then they will believe the voice of the last, of the next sign. So there have been lots of cute little memes going around that each of these is a sign to America on 4-8 that they should not put pressure on Israel. If anyone following the news, unfortunately, the current administration is collapsing in their support of Israel, which is very, very sad. Okay, now, I will just add a little addendum over there that the context of Exodus is talking about the Jewish people listening. So it's not upon us to point fingers at other people. It's up to us to take accountability for our own actions and to kick up our responsibility and accept responsibility upon ourselves to become better Jews. And therefore, I think it's an appropriate background introduction to our podcast today. As I said, we are living in very tumultuous times. There's actually very, I'll be honest, very scary times to the Jewish people. Will the Jewish people make it? Yes. Will Messiah come? Yes. Will the temple be rebuilt? Yes. All of those things are, as we say, G-O-D, guaranteed on-time delivery. They're going to happen. It's guaranteed, as we said down in New Orleans. Guaranteed. The question is, what is the path to get there? How many Jews will be on that victorious team at the end of history? And what will be with the Jews in the meantime? So on the global national level, everything's going to be great. On the individual personal level, but what is happening and what trials and tribulations our nation will be going through in the coming days, weeks, months, and years is very much up for us to determine based on our behavior and thus this podcast. Because I think that since October 7th, the world has changed, but most of all, the Jewish world has changed. And I think that we need to recognize that and, as I say, step it up, kick it up a next level of being more committed and more knowledgeable Jews, which is what you're doing by listening to this podcast. So here we go. I'd like to begin this first Passover post October 7th by talking about Purim, of course, right? Because as the Gemara says that there are no great days like these, happy days, like the days of Purim and Pesach. Okay, so Purim, it leads right into Pesach, and there is an absolutely very important concept in Purim that we need to understand. And from there, we're going to transition into the Passover Seder and bring it home what it means today with October 7th. Okay, is that a game plan? We got this. Purim, Pesach, October 7th, and what your how this Pesach is going to be more meaningful than any other Pesach that you have had in your life. Here we go. So there is, we know the story of Purim is the story of good versus evil, of the Jewish people versus the dark side. Now, the dark side we call Amalek. Amalek is the nation that tried its best to destroy us right when we left Egypt. We hadn't done anything yet. We hadn't controlled any of the banks. We hadn't controlled any of the real estates. We weren't all the doctors. We hadn't won all the Nobel Prizes yet. There was no reason not to like us. We hadn't done anything yet. And yet Amalek came to attack us. And since then, Amalek has represented the evil, pure evil, that opposes the Jewish people because we represent Hashem in this world. And we're going to come back to that concept very shortly. And the verse says in Exodus 17, 16, Shemos, Yud Zion, Tes Zion, says the following, Kiyad al Kes Ka. It's a very strange verse. Fasten your seatbelts. I know Hebrew is a little challenging. I'm going to translate, but stick with me. It's worth it. It's not that complicated. We're going to explain this 100%. Kiyad al Kes Ka, because there is a hand. There is a hand, meaning like there's someone hitting al Kes Ka on the throne of Hashem. There is a hand that is hitting the throne of God. Now, that's very allegoric language. There is a hand that is hitting the throne of God. That's the first part of the verse. The second part is, therefore, milchama, there should be a war, ba'amalek, against Amalek, midor-dor. There should be a war against Amalek for every single generation, right? Every Jew, you know, they know, lidor vador, you know, when someone from a Jewish group wants to make a very impassioned plea, lidor vador, from one generation to the next. Okay, so here it is in the Torah, that because there is a hand on God's throne, someone's hitting God's throne, there should be an eternal war against Amalek, against the Darth Vader, or I should say the emperor of history, the dark side, for every generation. Now, what does it mean, the throne of God? What does it mean that there is a throne of God, and who's hitting it? And what's going on here? It's a very bizarre thing. So let me share with you the following. It says in Genesis, in Bereishis, right at the beginning of the creation, that Ruach Elokim merecheves al panei amayim, that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Say the commentators that the Spirit of God was looking for a place to rest. It was looking for a nation, a people, or a group of people where God could dwell, could come down from heaven into earth. And it says that it was hovering over but could not find a place. And the whole story of Genesis is the appointing of Abraham and Sarah as the beginning of the chosen people. Humanity as a whole lost their ability to be the throne of God, to be the chariot of God, to have God's presence rest on them because of their behavior. And Abraham and Sarah began a family that eventually went down to Egypt. And that's where Shemos, the book of Exodus, begins and the Passover story begins. And that is the story of where the 12 sons become the 12 tribes. And then we leave Egypt and we become the Jewish people. And then we build the Mishkan, which is the tabernacle, the mini portable temple in the desert. And that's where Hashem's presence rests. The temple, the Western Wall, eventually become, when we go into Israel, the place where God's presence rests. We create, we the Jewish people, we are Hashem's throne, as it were. We the Jewish people are the throne of God. God comes and literally comes and dwells within the house that we build. We are the throne upon which God rests. And that's the hand. Amalek. Why do we fight Amalek throughout history? Because they are the hand that is whacking the throne. Remember the verse. Ki yad al kes kad. There is a hand hitting God's throne. Amalek, the forces of evil in this world, do not want God's presence to be in this world. That is the battle. It's good against evil. The forces of evil don't want God in the world, and we are his PR representatives. We are God's PR men in history, and therefore, that's why there's anti-Semitism. People, it doesn't matter how much we explain to the non-Jews that they should like us. It is a fundamental part of the spiritual DNA of this world that the non-Jewish hands will be against the throne. I've spoken to so many people, and they're thrown off. They cannot get over this anti-Semitism. Guys, everything's according to plan. It's not pleasant, but it is part of the absolute fabric and fiber of human existence that the non-Jews do not want God's presence in the world, and therefore they take it out on us. And we are that throne. And therefore, in the words of Rabbi Avigdor Miller of blessed memory, he tells us that if the non-Jewish nations are trying to destroy the throne of Hashem, then what's our job? Our job is to love the throne. We have to love the Jewish people. It's not enough just not to hate another Jew. It's not enough not to be in a fight. It's not to be just be nice to Jews a certain time of the year on Purim or other times of the year and not like them. The whole goal of Purim is that we're giving gift baskets to everyone. We're giving money to poor people to create that love for every Jew for the whole year. And it's not just this parv, bland, milquetoast concept of Jewish unity. Oh, let's all be together. Because let's face it, Jews are going to see things differently. We have different opinions. And God wants the Jewish people to have different opinions. That's part of the excellence of what it means to be Jewish. But because we have different opinions doesn't mean we don't love each other. We have to love each and every Jew. We are the ones counteracting the people who hit the throne. We've got to love the throne. That is the clarion call that we have from Purim, to love each and every Jew. And believe me, there are plenty of Jews that I vehemently disagree with their opinion. And I think their opinions are selling out the Jewish people. And I think their opinions are toxic and awful and miserable. And there's certain politicians in Israel that I wish I would name them, but I'm not going to. I think who are literally possibly have gone so far off that they have been fighting, they've been turning this hostage crisis into an excuse to hijack the hostages in order to fight the current government. Think what you will about the current government of Israel, but this is not a time for political bandstanding. There are forces in Israel that want to use the most vulnerable people, the victims' families, and to use it to score political points. People, our job is to love each and every Jew. And that brings us to Pesach. Pesach! How are we going to celebrate Pesach? We're going to be sitting around our table, and there's still 130 plus Jews in Gaza, and the American administration has turned its back on us, and we may or may not be able to finish the job, and if we do have to negotiate, we're going to probably have to give back thousands of murderers, and the Jewish people in Israel is disintegrating into splintering into its factions, and all the lessons of Jewish unity are being lost in these days that we had gained so much post October 7th. How in the world? And there's the specter of the threat from Iran. Should I continue? Am I depressing you? So how in the world are we going to enter Pesach? And ladies and gentlemen, there could not be a better time for Pesach, because Pesach is the antidote. Pesach is the great antidote of how to deal with difficult times. You know, there's something in the Passover Haggadah, in the Seder, that we do. And it's called maror, the bitter herbs. Now, the bitter herbs isn't just that bitter Uncle Herb. There's always that cantankerous one at the Seder. Why can't Why can't we get enough of this story? Let's get to the brisket, you know? You know? Well, tell Uncle Herb, have a chill. Actually, you know, give Uncle Herb the brisket. Tell him to leave the table, okay? Because he's a Debbie Downer for the rest of everyone. And, but what are these bitter herbs? And why are there bitter herbs on our national birthday? And that's really what our Passover holiday is. 3,336 years ago, we left Egypt. Very easy to remember this year. 3336, 1312 BCE. You got this. You'll be the coolest cat at your Seder because you know that fun fact. And now, so why is Maror even part of it? So we have to understand. Maror is the bitter herbs. The bitter herbs, the Torah tells us that in the times of the temple, we would take the matzah and the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb offering, one little shepsel, 1 year old, and we would bring it as an offering, and we'd take the meat, and that would be the dessert. We'd have matzah and a little piece of that Paschal Lamb, and we'd eat it with Maror all together, that famous Hillel sandwich. And yet, when we don't have the Paschal Lamb, because we don't have the temple anymore, there's a big golden dome on top of it, okay? They moved in by force. Okay, so what do we do? So really, by Torah law, we don't need to have Maror because the Maror is fundamentally attached to the Paschal Lamb. Matzah is a separate mitzvah of its own in the Torah. The Maror really, by all rights, as soon as we don't have the Paschal Lamb, we shouldn't have the Maror. But the rabbis put it in the Seder nevertheless. Why? And this is why. Because Maror is a fundamental plank, an integral part of the Jewish experience. And I want to take you through the procedure in which we deal with the Maror. So after the telling of the whole story, we make the blessing over the matzah, motzedek min ha'aretz, and then the special mitzvah of eating matzah, shir kishon mitzvah v'tzivano al achilas matzah. Then we eat matzah. Okay, great, we eat matzah. Then after that, we have maror, we have the bitter herbs, and many people have the chrein, the horseradish, but a lot of people now have very beautifully checked for no bugs, romaine lettuce. And that romaine lettuce tastes much better than the horseradish. Some people combine them, but either way, so again, so we've had matzah, we have maror. And then all of a sudden, with the two of those so lovingly commingling in our stomachs, comes along the Haggadah and says, oh, Hillel, Hillel reminds us that back in the temple, we had Pesach, matzah, and maror, so we make that sandwich of the matzah and the maror. Wait, time out. What's going on? We just had matzah by itself. We just had maror by itself. Why in the world are we combining of the two? Hillel, excuse me, they're already a sandwich in our belly. Why do I need to eat them again? Say the commentators, an unbelievable thing with the inside of Hillel, what he was teaching us, is because there's different ways to look at the maror of our lives, the bitterness of our lives. Some people deny that it ever happened. The maror, that's nothing new with me. I'm putting it in the past and I'm not dealing with it. Okay, that's called denial. Da-doom, boom. That's what Paro did. I did my joke thing too early. Anyway, Paro was in denial, da-doom, boom, that he denied everything. Okay, so some people, they have bitterness in life. They don't learn from it. They hide it in the past. Other people say, they wistfully look back. They say, that was then and this is now. But there's no real connection between the maror of my life, the bitterness of my life, and now. And then Hillel says, no, that's not the way to view bitterness. The way that we view bitterness is that we take the maror and we take the matzah, which at this point in the Seder represents our freedom. At the beginning of the Seder, the matzah represents the slave bread. And now it represents our freedom. It's follow the bouncing white ball. The matzah transitions from slave bread to freedom bread. And we take that maror and we eat it with the matzah. And we say, Hashem, I am free today because of the maror. And I combine them together. We pray for wealth, health, peace, justice in the world. We pray for every good thing. We never ask for any difficulties. But we are mature enough to know that when the Almighty sends us difficulty, when he sends us maror, it's to make us great. It's that test. It's that challenge that when we eat the maror with the matzah together, we say, Hashem, you made us free because of the maror and not despite it. And so therefore, we Jews now, October 7th was a healthy dosage of some of the most bitter herbs that the Jewish people have had since the Holocaust. Holocaust, and people now are breaking the Jewish unity for personal gain, and we have to double down and say that Moror is for a holy purpose. That's what's going to make us better, because we've got to rededicate ourselves to loving every Jew. And so when we're at our Passover table and we're eating our matzah and our Moror, we should make it clear that we're praying for our soldiers, we're praying for the hostages who cannot be by a Seder table. And by us eating the Moror, we're saying that Hashem, the bitterness and the loss of October 7th, we're not going to say that, oh, we're just going to stuff it in the closet. And we're not going to say that was then and this is now. We're going to say because of October 7th and because of that bitterness, you woke us up to remind us that we need to love every Jew. And we need to double down on that. And that's what you're demanding of us. And God willing, when we're sitting at our Passover tables in a few short weeks, that we should remember these lessons. We're eating the Moror. We should remember that there's nothing happens by accident. This was planned with a purpose to make us better. Don't waste that lesson by dividing into division and bickering. Live up to the message of the Moror to become great and love every single Jew. Have an amazing day, an amazing week, an amazing Seder, and God willing, we will continue our preparation for Seder next week, God willing, for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.